Now it's time for sound check. Say, now it's time for sound check. Yeah, say, ooh, it's all about sound check. Yeah.
From WNYC in New York, this is Sound Check. I'm John Schaefer. We're already gearing up for next week's visit from Billboard editor Joe Levy. Joe's going to join us to talk about mondegreens, misheard lyrics. And we've been asking you to weigh in with your favorites on Soundcheck's Facebook page or tweeting us at Soundcheck. One of our listeners tweeted us her mondegreen, and we liked it so much that we asked if she had the chutzpah to call us up and sing it.
Hi, I'm Nicole, and I am indeed brave enough to sing my awful misheard lyric on your voicemail. So it's the Golden Girl theme song, Thank You for Being a Friend.
Thank you for being a friend.
And as a kid, I used to think the lyric was, and if you threw a party, invited everyone you knew, you would see the biggest gift would be from me. And the heart attack would say, thank you for being a friend.
You would see the biggest gift would be from me. And the card attached would say, thank you for being a friend.
So yeah, I thought it was heart attack, not card attached. And even though now I know what it is, I still hear heart attack.
So, just to be clear, at this party, the gift would be so impressive it would send you into cardiac arrest. That is some gift, and that is some mondegreen. Thanks, Nicole. So what about you? Do you have a favorite mondegreen, a misheard lyric? Are you brave enough to sing it like Nicole? Leave us a voicemail at 866-939-1612. We'll be checking in with a few more of our listeners along the way. Along the way makes it sound like we're going somewhere, doesn't it? Well, we do have two musical travel segments for you. One is a day trip up the Hudson River. The other just requires you to walk down the right blocks here in New York. But maybe you listen to Soundcheck because you don't want to have to travel at all to hear music. Maybe you're counting on us to bring it to you. Okay, then.
I left for a living that I built myself.
The singer and songwriter Tao Nguyen operates with one of the best band names in the business. She records as Tao and the Get Down Stay Down. The group has just released a new album called We the Common, and it marks a turning point in Tao's career and quite possibly in her life. We'll hear about it in a moment, but first, here's the band with a song called Holy Roller. This is Tao and the Get Down, Stay Down, live on Soundcheck.
I am a woman of leisure. I've been looking for the end of one. I don't want it, but I need it. Oh, come on, baby, won't you give me. It's too hot for habits. My patience is done with me. I wanna live in towns that touch. I wanna stay when my temper beats.
Thank you.
That is Tao and the Get Down, Stay Down, live on Soundcheck with their song called Holy Roller. You'll find it on the latest album by the band, an album called We the Common. It's been a while since Tao Nguyen and her band have been here on Soundcheck. Tao, welcome back.
Thank you so much for having us back.
Adam Thompson still playing the bass, holding down the bass end of the Get Down, Stay Down, and adding some vocals. Johanna Kunyon playing keyboards and more vocals. Jason Slota behind our drums and Charlie Glenn playing guitar. You played banjo on that song. You play banjo on a couple of songs on this record.
That's true.
Played that instrument before?
Not particularly, no. It was a concerted effort to try to write songs on different instruments in this go-around, and I've always had a deep appreciation for the banjo. I always had one laying around, but I never paid much attention to it.
Yeah. So was it a way of just kind of writing, forcing yourself to write songs differently because you're using a perhaps less familiar instrument?
Definitely. I think it was a catalyst for thinking in a different way, and also writing a song that was more rhythmically inclined and also more had a more percussive feel to it because the banjo is more of a percussive instrument.
Absolutely, yeah. Now, after the last record, 2009's No Better, Learn Faster, you wanted to take some time off, take some time away, which, you know, in the music world is often not a great career move, you know, when you've built up some momentum and then suddenly you're gone for a couple of years. Aside from learning to play the banjo, what was that period off for?
It was, I didn't know it at the time, but it was really, for developing a life outside of music and touring. And it was a time to discern who else I was besides a touring musician, because I'd spent most of my 20s on the road, and I think that there were some key developments that went undeveloped, and so I needed to just become a full-fledged person in a lot of ways, but I didn't know at the time that that's what was happening.
You just felt something lacking?
I felt that I wasn't... Career-wise, it was an opportune time for transition, and so I knew that whatever happened with the next record and where I would end up, that I did have some time, and so it wasn't this sort of there wasn't a lot of pressure for me to be writing immediately, and I had the luxury of time and
what'd you do with all that time?
Well, you know, one of the primary ways I spent my time was with the California Coalition for Women Prisoners, and I have the great honor of being friends with really amazing activists in San Francisco and the Bay Area. And my work and my involvement in that group greatly influenced the writing of this record.
Mm-hmm. We the Common.
We the Common,
In the liner notes to the record, you say the album is dedicated to the people inside VSPW.
Mm-hmm.
What is VSPW?
VSPW is Valley State Prison for Women, which is the first California state prison that I went to visit on an advocacy trip.
Mm-hmm.
It actually since then has been converted to a men's prison, and all the folks at VSPW were funneled into various California state prisons, and which are experiencing incredible rates of overcrowding.
Yeah, right. Both genders, apparently. Yeah.
Yes, definitely.
So how did you, I mean, what drew you to, there are many causes you could have picked. What drove you to this?
Yeah, I think a lot of it had to do with that a few of my very good friends have been involved with this group for years, and the way they spoke about this group and the way they dedicated themselves to this work, it was something I'd never seen before. And I've been involved with other organizations, of course, and they're all great, but there was this added level of devotion and a real true sense of community and family that I had noticed but hadn't seen up close. And my friends asked me to fill in on an advocacy visit. And it was the first time that I'd been home long enough to gain clearance and, you know, all the background checks you have to go through to gain that clearance and then be able to actually go inside. And I wouldn't have been able to do that without time off.
Mm-hmm. And what's once inside, mm-hmm. what is your brief as an advocate? What are you there to do?
I was really apprehensive about that because I didn't know how helpful I could be in that situation, because you go in, the CCWP started as a healthcare advocacy group. And so the briefing that I received was to go in and you meet with each person for about 45 minutes or an hour, and you take notes on healthcare issues they're having or the issues that have gone on and unaddressed. We serve as almost legal liaisons in a way. Not that I have that legal training, but I'm on the outside and I have access to their attorneys or family members, and you know, gathering of different records and files. And also, we write letters of support for those who are up for parole. We write the medical receivership to demand medical attention for folks we see, because otherwise, you know, it's pretty clear that unless they hear from outside advocates, nothing will be done.
So did you find that when you started doing this, that you'd go into this prison and there were women with health issues that were being ignored?
Oh, yeah. Oh, totally. And without question. I would be surprised if we met anyone who had medical issues that actually were addressed in a timely manner. But, you know, we hear of women dying inside prison because there's one woman who had stomach cancer and they just gave aspirin to her. You know, there's no attention paid in that respect. Mm.
The lead off track on the new album, We the Common, is the title song, We the Common, and it's subtitled for Valerie Bolden, who is one of these women that you met in the prison?
Yes. Valerie Bolden was, I think, maybe the second or third woman I met on that first trip.
Uh-huh.
And
obviously made a big impression.
What's
her story?
She, Valerie is currently serving a life sentence in prison without parole for defending herself against her abuser, who was her husband at the time. And
So she killed him, I guess.
Yeah, she did kill him in a fight.
Mm-hmm.
And she's actually on the waiting list now for this thing called the Habeas Project, where people can reappeal their cases, you know, and resubmit evidence that could help bolster their accounts of self-defense and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I'm no legal expert. This is what I've been told. But the thing that struck me the most with Valerie, and you know, I'd never been inside a prison before. I'm so green in this area, and we sat down and we started joking immediately because she asked what ethnicity I was, and I said I'm Vietnamese. And I said, do you want to learn some Vietnamese? And she said, okay. So I said, my mom's going to hate that I'm saying this on the radio, but I said, Lan wat te buji, which...
Before you translate it,
yeah.
Is the FCC going to hate that you just said that on the radio?
No.
Okay, go ahead.
No, I don't think. They won't be impressed. They certainly, that's not going to be on their website. But it's so cold, your penis shrivels. And so then immediately, you know,
nice.
If you can imagine us in this incredibly barren, stark, totally devastating visiting room where, and then it's so bleak and, you know, I mean, it's terrible in there. And then there's just this moment. And so we're laughing and joking around and we just conversed very easily with each other. And it was a very lighthearted conversation, but obviously punctuated with these really poignant moments wherein she spoke of her daughters who she hasn't seen in 12 years because they live really far away and it's really hard for them to get to see her, and how she has no life without them. And she's very religious, but she's unsure of God's plan for her, you know. And and then very candidly, she just said, I don't want to die in here. And I've never been in that situation before. There's there's nothing that has ever come close to that. And so there is no way that I could shake that conversation, and it inspired the song.
Does Valerie know about the song? Has she heard
it? She does. She hasn't heard it because there's a lot of red tape. She's since been transferred to another prison, and you have to submit it to a prison, the vendor, and it goes into a catalog, and then the inmate has to order it from the catalog. And And I brought in the lyrics and I read them to her, but she hasn't heard the lyrics, or she hasn't heard the song
yet. Hasn't heard the song. All right. You want to play the song for us?
I would love to.
All right. We're speaking with Tao Nguyen, leader of Tao and the Get Down, Stay Down. The new album is called We the Common, and this title song, We the Common, is dedicated to the prisoner that Tao has been talking about, Valerie Bolden. They're playing for us today here in the Soundcheck studio. This is the song, We the Common.
If I ban my youth, would it come to me? Oh, love, won't you bat my eye? I miss the sweet garden man, bath for a skeleton dry. All they wanted was a villain, and all they had was me. All they wanted was a villain, so then they just took me. Hold my county line, get down on my city floor. I will suffer no humans, they've been my habit before. Oh, oh, how the earth did shake and tumble and tremble for what the people do take.
That's Tao and the Get Down, Stay Down playing the title track from their album We the Common, live in the Soundcheck studio. We'll talk more with Tao and hear another song later in the show. But first, if you're starting to make travel plans for the spring and summer, we have two ideas for you. One is a rock and roll road trip to New York's Hudson River Valley, and later, some handmade, although not quite legal, signage that's marking hip-hop history throughout the five boroughs of New York. That's coming up next on Soundcheck. This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. The last time Lonely Planet's U.S. editor, Robert Reed, joined us, it was to share some of his favorite rock and roll travel destinations, from St. Louis to Stonehenge. Now he's back with a trip, and it's just a train or car ride away. For New Yorkers with musical wanderlust, all you need is a day or a weekend. The place that Robert Reed has chosen for us is the Hudson River Valley, an area about 90 miles north of New York City. It's a gateway to a host of adventures, many of them musical, and as we're about to hear, it's an area that's full of history. Robert Reed, welcome back.
Thanks for having me.
Tell us about your musical day trip.
The Hudson River Valley, in a way, has always been very important to different kinds of arts developing in this country. You had the Hudson River School for painting.
Right.
You had literature with Washington Irving. You had folk music. You had, like, arts communities developed.
Pete
like
Seeger, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so that, you know, continued to grow into the 60s when it really turned into rock and roll. You have Dylan there recording with the band. Their very outlandish manager, Albert Grossman, is really kind of the unlikely godfather of that area because he went there first and lured a lot of people up. And his theater is still there. Bearsville Theater outside of Woodstock has shows, like very intimate, 250 seats. He's buried in the back by the creek.
And Albert Grossman is.
Albert Grossman is, yes.
And Dylan's manager for many, many years.
Dylan's still going.
Yeah.
He's not there.
So where would you suggest this Hudson River Valley mm-hmm. day trip begin?
The first thing I would think about is really the heart and soul of the area is Levon Helm, who is the pure Arkansas-born drummer of the band and continued a tradition of the Midnight Ramble, which he talks about in The Last Waltz, the Scorsese documentary mm-hmm. about the band from the 70s. Very, very rootsy Americana kind of tradition. He created a barn. Levon passed away last year from a long battle with cancer, but this is still going on. So what I would recommend doing is looking at his site, still going, go up when the Midnight Ramble's happening. For example, this Saturday, and he'll be playing... The bands and visiting performers will be playing. You're invited to bring a side of food, bring it to the community table. You eat. There's no alcohol. It's a very kind of foot-tapping kind of four-hour, you know, evening and really, really a throwback to where it all began.
This Saturday night featuring, among others, the great guitarist Larry Campbell, the trumpeter Stephen Bernstein, Amy Helm.
Yes, so
Levon's family is still involved?
Still a family production.
And from the 2006 collection, The Midnight Ramble Music Sessions Volume 2, recorded at Levon Helm's homestead, this is their cover of the Ray Charles song, I Wanna Know. Levon Helm and the Midnight Ramble Band. The Midnight Ramble, a weekend thing that the late musician instituted many, many years ago. And as Robert Reed, the U.S. editor for Lonely Planet, is telling us, still continues today after his death last year. That's the Ray Charles song, I Wanna Know. So that's a great place to go when there is music happening, as there is this weekend. So you're going?
Mm-hmm. Yep. This will be my first time in the Ramble. I'm not sure what side I'm going to bring.
Now, you mentioned Woodstock, but, of course, the music festival was not at Woodstock. It was actually at Bethel Woods.
Yes.
So is that also a part of your rock and roll day trip?
Yes. I mean, you could do it in kind of a triangular loop if you had your own wheels there. And it's a lot of people don't realize the Woodstock Festival was indeed, you know, 60 miles away from Woodstock, the town itself. Bethel Woods has really kind of come along in the last 5 years in particular. They're hosting a lot of shows, a lot of summer festival shows. Country music's going to be there this summer and things like that. But they have a museum that opened about 4 or 5 years ago, where you can kind of relive the three-day festival from 1969. It was on
Do you need to shower when you leave the museum?
Well, you will be muddy. Yeah, there's a whole mud. Not yet. That's a good idea, the interactive mud exhibit.
So what is the, is it just a museum about that festival, or is it the various Woodstock 2s came out? I mean, how extensive is it?
The focus is 69 because that's where that one happened, at the dairy farm right there at Bethel. And it's probably the one with the greatest legacy, I would have to say. So.
All right, we're talking about a rock and roll day trip up the Hudson River from New York. And you've got Levon Helm and the band, and you've got the Midnight Ramble, which we've already mentioned. But mentioning the band leads us to Big Pink. Explain what Big Pink is.
Big Pink is a simple little pink house in the backwoods, kind of between Woodstock and Saugerties up there in the mountains. And that is where the band and a guy named Robert Zimmerman or Bob Dylan recorded in the 60s. This is kind of, really the band's with influence kind of killed psychedelic music in a way in the 60s. And it was really back to basic rootsy kind of music that they developed in the late 60s and inspired the Beatles and Eric Clapton and all kinds of people to move away from that. Big Pink is now a private studio. If you have a band, you can go and record there. You can go and take a photo of this. This is the iconic place where their studio was. You see it on the cover of music from Big Pink, the band's first album from 1968. So a lot of people like to go, and the guy who runs the studio is very happy if people come and take photos. Just don't knock on the door unless you're toting some guitar cases and plan to record.
And what does the house look like?
It's pink.
Is it big?
It's not that big, actually. No, it's just like kind of a simple old kind of dumpy house that you see in some of these. It's not the most historic home itself. It's pink, and it's back by woods. There's actually a bed and breakfast right on the other side of it. So you want to be in the back. You could stay at the bed and breakfast there called the Pine Grove Lodge, and it is in the backyard essentially of Big Pink. And it's just a little dream home, over there in the woods.
It's where the band wrote the 1968 album Music from Big Pink, and it's where Bob Dylan wrote and recorded these basement tapes.
Yay, heavy in a bottle of bread. Yay, heavy in a bottle of bread. Yay, heavy in a bottle of bread. It's a one-track town, just brown and a breeze, too. Pack up the meat, sweet, we're heading out. For Wichita in a pile of fruit. Get the loot, don't be slow, we're gonna catch a trout. Get the loot, don't be slow, we're gonna catch a trout. Get the loot, don't be slow, we're gonna catch a trout. Now pull that drummer out from behind that bottle. Bring me my pipe, we're gonna shake it.
Bob Dylan with the band recorded in the house known as Big Pink in West Saugerties in the Hudson River Valley, and Yay Heavy and a Bottle of Bread from the Basement Tapes. Robert Reed is with us, U.S. editor for Lonely Planet, with ideas for a rock and roll day trip up the Hudson River from New York. What do you got for someone who's not an aging hippie, but perhaps might have come of age, say, around 1980 or so?
You can stay at the Love Shack. B-52's singer Kate Pearson, who's always kind of had a particular take on kind of 50s kitsch a little bit, saw these kind of 1950s cabins there, about a 15-minute drive from Woodstock, and made them, in the last decade into Lazy Meadows. And it was designed by the people who did the Love Shack video from, the late 80s by the B-52. So it's a little bit, you're in these kind of cabins you go into, and it's very kind of colorful. There's murals on the wall of unlikely scenes and things like that. It's just like stepping into a B-52's video. You're right back on this lovely creek that you can tube in summer.
So when you're inside, are you in, like, somebody's idea of a 1950s mid-American den or something?
A little bit. It's a little bit more woodsy than what the very colorful video is, with just kind of knickknacks everywhere. But these are original 1950s kind of cabins by the creek. Great place to be in the mountains, but just a little bit more B-52s kind of filter through there. So it's fun.
Does Kate Pearson ever appear at the Love Shack?
I can't guarantee. she also opened one in California, another Lazy Meadow. So I think she's dividing her time between both.
All right. Well, you can spend the night at the Motor Lodge, designed by the B-52s' Kate Pearson and inspired by this B-52s classic.
Yeah.
a case of life imitating art. The song says, "The Love Shack is a place where we can get together, and now you can." It's officially called Lazy Meadow.
Lazy Meadows.
But it is a love shack designed by Kate Pearson of the B-52s and the music video folks who made the Love Shack video back in the 80s. That's the song from the B-52s. Robert Reed, U.S. editor for Lonely Planet, with a rock and roll day trip up the Hudson. This takes us as far as Mount Tremper. And then we circle back, head back home, and a brief stop along the way at the Woodstock Cemetery.
You can go to the Woodstock Cemetery. Levon Helm, who died last year, is actually buried alongside his former bandmate, Rick Danko, who died in 1999. So you can go and pay your respects there. The highway going out from Woodstock to Hurley, most of the people coming back to the city will take it, 375, is hopefully going to be renamed the Levon Helm Memorial Highway. It's being kicked around Albany right now, and as early as next year, that may be renamed for him.
All right. A nice way to spend a day or two, not too far from home here in New York. Robert, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Now, if you can't get away, there's still plenty to see here in New York City, of course, including a tour of some brand new street signs. Stick with me here. For the time being, you can head to intersections throughout New York, if you know where to look, and see some not-quite-official street signs that quote rap lyrics, like this one from Kanye West.
Before I had a house and I do it again, 'cause I wanna be on 106 and Park, wishing a Benz. I wanna act.
106 and Park is just one of the spots that received a street sign with location-specific rap lyrics. The signs were made by the artist and graphic designer Jason Shelowitz, known as Jay Shells. And he's here with me in the studio today to talk about this almost legal project. Jay, welcome to Soundcheck.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So these are very official-looking signs that you've affixed to various, you know, poles around the city. You've done this sort of thing before, right? With, like, subway etiquette and
right.
stuff like that.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about how this project started.
Well, I was actually just working in my home studio on some fine art, listening to music, as I always do. And this particular Big L song came on that I've heard hundreds of times in my life. And I kind of heard myself going along with the lyrics and heard myself say, on 139 and Lenox Ave, there's a big park.
On 139 and Lenox Ave, there's a big park. And if you're sore, don't walk through it when it gets dark. 'Cause at nighttime,
and I just thought, man, it would be really cool to mark that spot. It's such a specific area. I wonder what I could do. And God, there must be a few hundred other examples like this. And how can I make kind of a roadmap of these locations and really mark them so people know that they were mentioned in songs? And then I've employed the street signs before. Mm-hmm. They seem to work. It's not paint on a wall or a sidewalk, so as far as legality, it's still, I think, technically illegal, but really, you're not going to get in as much trouble for something like this. And I knew I was going to, once the idea came to me, I already thought really big picture, I'm going to do a lot, and let me try to not get, you know, arrested for this. So.
So far, so good.
So far, so good.
At some point, Jay, you must have sort of said to friends, hey, I have this idea. And did the place names and locations just start pouring in?
Yeah, I started just thinking on my own, and I was able to come up with a bunch. And then I sent the email out to all of my friends. And a lot came in from friends, but also a lot were not specific enough, mentioning streets.
Yeah.
A street is a long thing in this town, so you can't really put a stake in the ground on a street. It really needs to be a corner or even a music venue, a restaurant. You know, there's one in front of Carnegie Hall, which I just noticed that there's a typo in, which is very embarrassing.
What is it? What is it?
It says Carnegie Hall. So stupid. I don't know how I didn't notice. I really double-checked everything.
Whose lyric is it?
That's Busta Rhymes.
Now, yes, yes, y'all, you know we taking it all. See how we bringing the street corner to Carnegie Hall. It'd be so funny to see how badly they want me to fall. Effing up something, me and my people is ready to brawl. Now I'm ready to call my niece, get off of the wall.
So that's in front of Carnegie Hall, or was. I can't be sure if it's still there. I'd have to go look.
So you went around, presumably under cover of darkness.
No, broad daylight.
Broad daylight. Yeah. And just started affixing these metal signs to the signposts, the ones that have like parking regulations and all that kind
right.
of stuff.
They're actually just so you know, they're not metal. I have used aluminum before. They're really expensive.
Yeah.
So I have a vendor making them on Sintra, which is sort of a plastic material that a lot of cities are using for their signage uh-huh. now. It's weatherproof. It lasts a very long time and it's still really durable, but saves a little money. And I'm paying for this myself, so I can't afford to
right.
use the good stuff.
So where are they? How wide a geographical net have you cast?
I said New York only.
Right.
New York is the birthplace of hip-hop. It's where I live. It's where I've grown up. This is where I want to do it. People are asking me if it will expand. Maybe. There's also not as many specific corners mentioned in other songs because I don't just listen to New York hip-hop. But so it goes as far east as Suffolk County, Long Island.
Really?
Yeah. I went all the way out to the Smith Haven Mall, which is mentioned in a song by R.A. the Rugged Man, who's... guy's been around for a long time. He actually has a new album out now.
I go to Smith Haven Mall to see if anybody wants some. Anybody wants some, but it's just gonna cost some. I'm walking the street.
So that was actually the first one I did. I figured let me go the farthest first and mm-hmm. just do it. And as far north as Mount Vernon, which is just outside of the Bronx. There were two there that mentioned the same park. And, you know, all over Brooklyn, all over Queens, as far right. out of Queens as Southside Jamaica. Queensbridge housing projects up by Corona also.
Is there one outside the combination Taco Bell and Pizza Hut on Jamaica Avenue?
You know what? That's somebody sent that to me. I should probably do that for Das Racist. Yeah, I might do that one.
See you. I'm at the Pizza Hut. I'm at the Taco Bell.
Really?
I don't see you. I'm at the combination Pizza Hut and Taco Bell.
Dog, I'm right here at the Pizza Hut.
Jamaica Avenue.
Jamaica Avenue.
Jamaica Avenue.
The combination Pizza Hut and Taco Bell on Jamaica Avenue.
A little bit of Das Racist's combination Pizza Hut and Taco Bell. Quite possibly the next addition to artist Jay Shell's Rap Quotes project. You can go to soundcheck.org to find a Spotify playlist of all the songs used in the project so far, and you can suggest your favorite location shoutouts and rap lyrics. Just call us at 866-939-1612. Now, Jay, a lot of these lyrics are kind of... They're not full of the usual civic pride, let's put it that way. I mean, there is definitely a pride in having come from a place that's tough, you know? And that seems to be the kind of the message of a lot of these lyrics. I mean, the Jay-Z one, the line is, cough up a lung where I'm from, Marcy son ain't nothing nice. That is the sign.
Yep.
Where did you put this?
Right in front of the Marcy houses, which is, government housing in Brooklyn.
This is the song that inspired that particular sign from Jay Shell's Rap Quotes project.
Behind bars, that all. I'm from where they ball and green rhyme stars. I'm from Marcy, son. Just thought I'd remind y'all.
Cough up a lung where I'm from. Marcy, son, ain't nothing nice.
There's many places, but I'm Brooklyn's own.
Cough up a lung where I'm from. Marcy, son, ain't nothing nice.
There's many places. But I'm Brooklyn's own.
Cough up a lung where I'm from. Marcy, son, ain't nothing nice.
There's many places. But I'm Brooklyn's own.
Cough up a lung where I'm from.
That's Jay-Z's Where I'm From, and that line about being from Marcy is on one of the signs that Jay Shells has put up around town as part of his Rap Quotes project. Do people take the signs down?
Yeah, people are writing me already saying they went. People are going to try to take them and then getting there and realizing they've already been taken and then writing me and saying they're not there. I assumed that was going to happen. So really, I'm kind of using this as a blueprint for a possible bigger project that mm-hmm. I actually get permission for with brass plaques drilled into the concrete that really can't be taken that can become yeah. sort of a more permanent part of the city landscape.
So have you, I mean, doing this in broad daylight, have you gotten any kind of quizzical stares from passing police or anything like that? You put one in front of the 73rd Precinct House, didn't you?
Yeah. Yeah, they that was the scariest one.
Why? What's the lyric?
then you got them clockers down at 73rd. That was drug associated since the 70s. Word. So, yeah, calling the police their clockers, you know.
Yeah. And who was this?
Lil Fame from M.O.P.
Okay.
Which is they've been around forever, still making music from Brownsville, Brooklyn. I don't know if they still live there, but that was the scariest for a few reasons. One, because Brownsville is sort of one of the last remaining really dangerous neighborhoods in this city. They still, their homicide rate is very high. I think the whole neighborhood is less than 2 square miles, but it's a very violent town and has a long history of just being a rough place. So it was a little, I've never been there. I never had a reason to go there. So there was that, and then just calling the police there, drug dealers on their turf. But you know, luckily they have better things to worry about. A police car pulled out right in front of us and stopped at the red light right in front of us for what felt like hours while I was installing it. But, you know, it doesn't look like I'm doing anything wrong, and really, what's the big deal?
It's the Rap Quotes Project from the artist Jay Shells, the street artist and graphic designer, real name Jason Chelowitz, who's with us on Soundcheck. There's a Spotify playlist of all the songs being used in the project on our website at soundcheck.org, and you can pass along your favorite location-specific rap lyric. You can leave it on our voicemail at 866-939-1612. Do you tend to find yourself quoting from one era more than another?
If you look at the ones that I've put up so far, a lot are from the 90s, which is really, I suppose, my favorite time. But I think that's a coincidence because I've really been searching. And there are some new. Mm-hmm. There are two that went up that are from albums that came out in the last year. But a lot are kind of old. There's a Big Daddy Kane line from, I think maybe it was from 89 or 91. There's a one that just came to me by an artist who's not from New York called Yellow Wolf that mentions the Chelsea Hotel. One clumsy punch on purple, 1, 2, 3. I'm at the Chelsea Hotel, like Sid and Nancy with a knife and 2 grams of candy. Get the disease, feet. Me. Please, oh, please don't please just give me them keys and crank that beat because I might double dope. You told us how you got the idea for doing this. What would you say is the big idea behind the Rap Quotes Project? I really just think it's cool to know. I mean, New York is so full of history and so many amazing things happen on virtually every corner, every day and throughout history. And nobody knows. You could walk right by. You know, a lot of people know in front of Spark's Steakhouse, some, you know, I don't remember which mob guy got shot, but that's sort of a famous thing. But it's not really marked, and there's a lot of things that aren't necessarily desirable things that have happened, but I still think they're a part of history, and you should know. I mean, we get so many tourists, so many people that live here don't even know. You walk right by this corner, and this is part of a famous song, and I think you should know it. The irony, of course, is that they'll get stolen, and a lot of people won't get to see them.
Right. Do you have plans to continue this, you know, beyond whatever's happening right now? I mean, do you hope to replace the ones that are missing? How deep into this do you go?
Well, I'm continuing. I have a bunch that are already manufactured and done on my table at home that I have to go install. I've got 9 that are just on my computer waiting to send to print. So it's going to be ongoing, even though if people take them, they take them. I'm going to keep putting them up and documenting them. And at least I'll have these locations plotted. You know, I have a Google Maps set up where I have everything pinpointed. So one day if I can, you know, roll this into something legal where we could do like brass plaques, you know, screwed into the concrete, I'll know exactly where to do it. So, yeah, I think this is kind of the foundation for something bigger. I just can't fund it myself.
I don't know how you're doing it this way. I mean,
yeah, it's still expensive this way, but not as much if I did real plaques.
The street artist, graphic designer Jason Chelowitz, better known as Jay Shells, talking about the Rap Quotes Project, which you may find popping up on a street corner near you. If you're at the street corner of Broadway and Myrtle in Brooklyn, you'll see a tribute to Mos Def. Yasin Bey, these days as he's known, and his song Mathematics. Jay, thanks so much for being with us on Soundcheck today.
Thanks for having me.
Possess extra strength, powerlifting powerless, up out of this towering inferno. My ink so hot it burned through the journal. I'm blacker than midnight on Broadway, you Myrtle.
Time now for another misheard lyric, or Mondegreen as they're known. This one was posted by our listener Anna on Facebook and features the Alanis Morissette song You Oughta Know. And Anna writes, "You ought to know" has a trademark Alanis indignant line that goes, "It's not fair to deny me of the cross I bear that you gave to me."
It's not fair to deny me of the cross I bear that you gave to me. You ought to know.
Anna continues, "Of course, for 8 years, I thought he had given her a cross-eyed bear out of spite. Until my best friend caught me singing that and mercilessly told others. But I guess I'm telling you now so I can't be angry at her anymore." All right, Anna. If you have a Mondegreen that you can share, or a cross-eyed bear for that matter, send it to Soundcheck via Twitter or Facebook, or call us at 866-939-1612. Still to come, more music from the band Tao and the Get Down, Stay Down, live in the Soundcheck studio. This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. Let's hear another performance from the indie pop band Tao and the Get Down, Stay Down. Their latest album's called We the Common, and as we learned earlier, it's inspired by Tao Nguyen's time working with women in prison. For her first two songs tonight, Tao played the banjo, but now she's strapping on the guitar for a song called City. This is Tao and the Get Down, Stay Down, live on Soundcheck. Tao and the Get Down, Stay Down, live on Soundcheck with a song called City. It appears on their new album called We the Common, and obviously playing for us here in the Soundcheck studio. And while we were mic checking before going on the air, we took a few photos, Tao, and posted one of you with that guitar that you just played. And our listener, Peter, following us on Facebook, saw that picture of you and remarked, "That is an awesome guitar."
Thank you, Peter.
When you strapped it on, I actually kind of thought the same thing. It's got the big cello-sized body with the F-holes and stuff, big black pick guard, and what is that?
It's a 1958 Spanish Electric National guitar that we found in Austin in a vintage shop. That guitar has a long history of drama and melodrama. It was stolen from my green room once in London.
Really?
And it was recovered in a paddy wagon because a fella had, he was drunk, I presume, had busted into our green room, stolen it. And so I had to play the show with a different guitar while weeping, gently. And and then...
But it was someone else's guitar that was gently weeping.
Right, yeah.
That's too bad.
My guitar was being... he went into a pub and he started throwing pint glasses at people. So the police came in and jumped on him, I think. And what we think happened was that they tackled him and everybody landed on the guitar. But then...
But the guitar was okay?
The guitar was... Well, it had some reconstructive surgery.
Okay.
Anyway, the guy who worked for the venue was walking home and spotted it in the back of a police wagon.
Wow. So they still have paddy wagons in London.
Apparently. this was recounted to me. I can't verify.
That's what I take away from this whole story. The guitar, the drums. Really? London has paddy wagons?
I know.
So now... I mentioned before that, you know, there's a bit of a lag between the last record and the new record, mm-hmm. but you have been doing other things, collaborating with Radiolab, WNYC-produced radio show, touring around with them.
That was an incredible experience, and I'm forever grateful for that.
That was their program, Radiolab in the Dark, right?
That's right.
But you guys didn't actually perform in the dark, did you?
Some of it was very dark. So to achieve that effect, you know that Jad and Robert, you know, they're the real deal.
Yeah.
If they're talking about the dark, you're going to be in the darkness.
You also have collaborated with Mira, the Tao and Mira album.
That's right.
I mean, yours has been a very collaborative art, you know, with the Get Down, Stay Down, and... On this new record,
mm-hmm.
Joanna Newsom, the singer, songwriter, harpist, sings a song with you. How did that come about?
It was a real coup, I'll tell you.
Absolutely.
Joanna Newsom's fantastic, and we met, actually. We were attending this songwriter's retreat for this organization called Hedgebrook, which is this amazing organization that's on Whidbey Island, which is north of Seattle, and they create space for women writers. And each writer gets their own cabin. They write all day, and you just have to gather for dinner in mm-hmm. the evening. So I was just finishing up this song, and I asked her to sing on it, and we demoed it on my iPad.
Nice.
In her cabin.
Well, we're going to hear the results to wrap up this portion of the show. We've been speaking with Tao Nguyen and hearing her band, Tao and the Get Down, Stay Down. The new album is called We the Common. This song with Joanna Newsom's called Kindness Be Conceived. Tao, great to have you back on the show. Thanks so much.
Thank you so much for having us.
Hold me hard. I've been let loose. Sift me clear of all I do. If by a third degree you feel a guilt for me, then I've been a villain all my life. And if by a melody you stay and sway with me, I've been a salesman on the side.
You can watch two videos from Tao's performance here in our studio. They're on our website, soundcheck.org. Join us tomorrow on Soundcheck for in-studio performances and conversations with two musicians we think you'll like. The jazz drummer and composer Kendrick Scott brings his band Oracle to play in our studio, and we may talk a little basketball. Plus, another New Yorker, the singer, producer, rapper, and DJ known as Tekla. We introduced you to her in one of our Check Ahead features on soundcheck.org. Tomorrow she'll play tropical electronic pop from her album, We Are the Lucky Ones. Before we go, though, we're going to leave you with another Mondegreen, another misheard lyric, this one from a listener who tunes in to our sister station, WDET, in Detroit.
Hey, I used to listen to the Beach Boys song, Surfing USA. I always thought it went like this. Everybody had an ocean, as in an inkling. Turns out it was it's a little bit bigger than that.
If everybody had an ocean across the USA.
Anyway, this is Copper Tom. I'm a children's music performer from Ann Arbor, Michigan. Thank you. Take care.
You see them wearing their baggies, Warachi sandals too. A bushy, bushy blonde hairdo, surfing USA.
Copper Tom with his Mondegreen of the line, If Everybody Had an Ocean. Although I have to say, I like the idea of everybody having a notion. Have a favorite Mondegreen? Well, you can pass it along. Find Soundcheck on Facebook or Twitter, or call us. And if you dare, sing your Mondegreen to us at 866-939-1612. See you back here tomorrow at 9 for the next Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer.